Grass is fine if you've got a cut or 4 feet and stand in the mud. But we've got two and teeth to chew. Don't give us none of that vegetarian stew. We're carnivores and we ain't ashamed. The reason's simple, it's in the refrain. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 16 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Pay Attention. I'm sure all of us have either said pay attention or had it said to us over our lifetime. I know my mother admonished me many times to pay attention. Given the fact I broke my leg falling out of a tree, swallowed a fishbone that lodged in my throat, crashed my face onto a gymnasium floor while swinging on a climbing rope and trying to grab the nearby basketball hoop, all before the age of 14, let me say I was not particularly adept at following her simple instruction. Although personal safety qualifies as the most important setting in which to remember the two words, and the first segment in today's podcast addresses that aspect, it's also important to pay attention to essential programs designed to assure farmers of healthy wheat markets and profitable bottom lines. Two of those programs are addressed in this episode's second segment. But I'm beginning this week on a sober note. Many of you already know that longtime Washington Association of Wheat Growers member Jay Penner was seriously injured in an accident last fall. Penner, who has served on the Department of Ecology Ag Burning Task Force for many years, fell as he was removing a GPS antenna from the top of his Challenger tractor. It wasn't a big fall, but it had a big impact. Penner is paralyzed from the chest down. I met with Penner last winter at St. Luke's Rehabilitation Hospital in Spokane, where he was eager to learn the exercises that will help him live an independent life again. The man in the hospital bed with the wry sense of humor and strong opinions was the same one I had interviewed numerous times when I was a reporter for Capital Press. Since he still has the use of his upper body, including his arms and hands, he used them to illustrate what happened that fateful fall day when he fell. Although Penner, who is 71 now, was doing something he has done dozens of times before, we don't grow younger with age. We grow older. And while gray hair brings the advantage of wisdom, it doesn't make you stronger or more agile. I hope all of you who are gearing up for spring work will listen to Penner talk about the day that changed his life. None of us is getting any younger, and doing the things the way we've always done them carries a risk. Be wise. I began by asking Penner to set the scene the day of his accident.
I'd been applying liquid lime with an applicator that was spraying it out at a 100-foot swath. I finished with that applicator, and I was taking the GPS antenna off the top of it so it could be returned to the man that owned the applicator. It was a Monday morning. I was in a hurry, and I'm paying for it now.
Describe what happened.
Well, I was up on the right-hand driver on a Challenger, a high drive, and I reached for the GPS antenna with my left hand. I'd been up there 100 times. I started to fall. With my right hand, I started grabbing anything I could grab, and it was just breaking off behind me. And next thing I know, I'm looking down at the ground, and I land on my head first, and then I fall back onto my shoulders and hit that thoracic group of vertebrae. I keep on tumbling. My back, my hips, my legs hit the ground, and when my legs hit the ground, I knew I'd broke my back because there was no feeling there at that time.
And you were conscious throughout this?
Yes. I remember that just as vivid as vivid, like it was videotaped.
And then what happened?
Well, I got my cell phone out, and thankfully I had it. Thankfully it was charged, and thankfully we had a signal, and I called my wife and told her I broke my back, and she gathered up the troops, and they come and got me, and I ended up in Harborview on surgery.
Penner said he truly believes that some things just happen, things that are out of our control. a highway accident, a hunting accident, a fall from a ladder. Eventually, something is going to happen, he said. But I asked him if there was anything he'd do differently if he had the 3 minutes before the accident to live over again.
I would have went about a different way of taking that GPS antenna down off of there, I can tell you that. I'd have had a ladder that I could have crawled up and crawled back down, even though it wasn't that high off the ground. Safety is something that you should have in your mind 24 hours a day.
And at that particular moment, you didn't have safety in mind?
I did not have safety in my mind. I was early in the morning. I had things I wanted to do, so I just bowled right through it, and it got me.
And what is the advice that you might give to the other farmers and the rest of us out there, something to learn from what has happened to you?
Well, I think you better have that heart-to-heart talk with your people saying, hey, you know, I want you to be a lot safer than what you've been, and this can happen to you just as well as it happened to him, and go down to Walmart and buy you a 10-foot ladder and carry it with you.
How are you approaching the rest of your life at this point?
Well, you have a lot of dreams that go up in smoke, I can tell you that. But I still have a head and don't have much in it, but I still have the head and two arms and shoulders that work. So it's going to be a new day out there, whether it's a new career or just help out where you can help. But, you know, you just got to keep moving forward. You can't stop and dry up and blow away, or you'll get nowheres.
Penner is right. It's a new day for him, but each day is a new day for all of us. And how that day unfolds depends in large part on our attitude. Penner has never been one to shy away from a challenge, and I can't help but anticipate that he will use the new reality of his life to reinvent himself. Like an updated computer program, I'm sure J. Penner 2.0 will arise from this accident. Certainly it is hard for me to ever imagine the man who has made me laugh so hard over the years of ever drying up and blowing away. One last note on the topic of safety. A few years ago, I clipped an article about research on the causes of farm accidents. Its major conclusion was that on-farm calamities aren't primarily caused by exhaustion, which was the previous hypothesis, but rather by not paying attention. As Penner said, he was in a hurry that fateful day, and now he's paying for it. Although farming is an intrinsically dangerous occupation where paying attention is especially critical, it's important all of us remember the two words which can save us and our families a lot of heartache. Pay attention. The next segment also requires paying attention, but in this case, it's not about danger to life and limb, but rather to profit and loss. Everyone who depends on the weed industry, and yes, I'm talking to you, landlords, agribusinesses, and county governments, needs to ensure U.S. wheat farmers have continued competitive access to the overseas markets by supporting increased funding for the Market Access Program, called MAP, and the Foreign Market Development Program, referred to by its initials, FMD. Without these two programs, research has estimated the nation's farmers would have been poorer by an average of $2.1 billion annually between 2002 and 2014. Research of export demand by Informa Economics in cooperation with Texas A&M University and Oregon State University found there is a 25-to-1 return on investment through MAP and FMD. That's right. For every dollar spent promoting U.S. agricultural products overseas, there is a return of $25 in sales. It is truly one of our national success stories. And get this, we do it on the cheap. We spend less on promoting U.S. agricultural products overseas than the European Union spends on promoting wine. Right now, the MAP FMD budgets have an actual promotional value of around $140 million. A coalition of agricultural interests are hoping to increase that to $400 million during the next Farm Bill debate. I spent some time with Steve Mercer, Vice President for Communications at U.S. Wheat Associates, talking about MAP and FMD funding. He sounds calm and collected in the interview you're about to hear. That's the professional in him. But he's really quite riled up at how he believes the U.S. agricultural industry has been left behind by the government when it comes to promoting our products overseas. Of course, he has an axe to grind. MAP and FMD funds both contribute to the U.S. Wheat Associates budget, but facts are facts. Think of it this way. If car manufacturers didn't promote and market their vehicles, they wouldn't get buyers in the door. It's not unlike that for U.S. agricultural products. I ask Mercer to describe the two programs and explain what they are intended to accomplish.
These two programs are administered by the USDA Foreign Agricultural Service. They've been in place in various forms for a long time. The two, the Market Access Program and the Foreign Market Development Program, are what we're talking about. The Market Access Program goal is to develop, maintain, and expand commercial export markets, whereas the Foreign Market Development Program is designed to do that with long-term markets. So there are subtle differences there. So for U.S. Wheat Associates, the Market Access Program really provides funding for all of our overseas activities. The Foreign Market Development Program, we actually use it mostly to cover salaries and office expenses for our people.
Are there other countries that support their exports? And if so, how does their support compare to ours?
Yeah, over the last several years, there have been some competitive studies done about what other countries are doing. A few years ago, I was actually involved in the direction of the program and the management of this study, and it showed that the public investment in agricultural export market development outside the United States was equivalent to about $1.1 billion. Now, compare that to our MAP and FMD budget, which is $234 million. Europe alone, it's estimated, spends around $300 million, which is significantly more than we do, for the EU investment. And then there are individual country investments beyond that. So there are many, many countries that provide export support from public funds. So the United States is not the only one, but we certainly looks like we're being outspent.
So about $200 million that we receive from both of these programs, how much does U.S. Wheat Associates receive in terms of these funds?
Yeah, so from these two programs, we receive just about $12 million. It's roughly equal between FMD and MAP. In order to get those funds, though, in order to see those funds come to us, farmers have to contribute certain amounts of the funding. So it is a public-private partnership. And in our case, wheat farmers, through their state wheat commissions, provide about a third of the total budget. So roughly around $5.5 million from the farmers, and then about 12 from MAP and FMD programs. That started to change over the last few years. We've seen the public funding start to go down, primarily because of cuts to the MAP and FMD program from sequestration, from administrative costs that are taken right off the top by FAS to run the program, something that wasn't done a few years ago. We see other programs that take a little bit of the cut off the top, and then that doesn't even take into account inflation. These programs were set at their current budgets back in the 2002 Farm Bill. MAP was phased in up to $200 million in 2006. MAP was set at $34.5 million in 2002.
What would happen to USW if these funds were decreased or eliminated?
A year and a half ago, we did a study kind of looking at that. What was the impact of these programs on wheat exports? And there was a comparison between what would happen if there was no public funding. Between 2010 and 2014, that econometric study from Cornell showed that wheat exports would actually be 22% lower from the United States if the program funding was not there. Now, that takes into account the years and years of investment in building those markets, but there's a significant impact. And then when you look at the entire program, We look at all the participants that take place. There was a study recently that showed that if the funding was not there, there would be significant drops in export value, in farm cash receipts and income, as well as the economy in general, because these are job-creating opportunities.
Your MAP and FMD coalition is suggesting a doubling of this budget to $400 million. Congressional appropriations are a zero-sum game. Where would this extra money come from?
We're going to have to allow those people to work that out. I think at this point, what the coalitions have done is to lay this concept on the table. All of the participants are actually going out and talking to their associations that actually lobby for commodity groups. We're asking the National Association of Wheat Growers at this meeting to support this concept of a doubling. So it's early in the process. We have to put that concept on the table. And in the process of building a farm bill, the decisions will be made. We're not kidding anybody that it would be a challenge. There's no doubt. If we don't ask for this opportunity to be considered, then it won't be. We're not ready to make that decision. We're not really in a position to do that. That's really up to members of Congress.
President Trump won election based on a lot of rural support. Do you think this bodes well for the program? Because he is also looking inward.
Well, potentially. I think that there are a lot of folks here today in Washington, D.C., that are going up on the Hill, and they're talking to Congress, and they, through Congress and their contact with folks in the administration, it certainly has that potential. I would not surprise me to see farmer organizations try to leverage that with the Trump administration. I think the argument would be at this point that if the Trans-Pacific Partnership has ended, we've withdrawn from that. Certainly for wheat growers, that provided excellent opportunity for future potential growth in many of these markets where the population and economy is improving to the point where it's a very, very, these are very good future markets for our wheat. So without it, and really not being currently aware of what might take its place, if there are individual free trade agreements, absolutely, we'd support that. But I think it would be an opportunity to leverage that base of support in the rural markets. I just saw this week that Senator Bob Dole, former Senator Bob Dole, came out in highly endorsing the need for trade for agriculture specifically. And so I think we'll see the same sort of pressure, if you will, from many, many farm groups.
What can farmers in the country do to aid you in your effort to get this increase?
Well, I think to learn about the MAP and FMD programs and about the importance of export market development, ag exports count. The income, the jobs, just the study that that USDA did recently to look at the effectiveness of these programs showed that they actually created 240,000 new jobs over the past 12 years. I mean, significant impact on the general economy. And many of those jobs are in the rural sector, so very good for rural America as well. So I think that it's important to look at the programs and look at how they really allow an individual farmer to sell and promote his product or her product in markets that they never would have the chance to do. It would be impossible for an individual farmer to make a concerted effort, sustained effort to promote wheat in Malaysia or Vietnam or Indonesia. But with the money that they provide to their state commissions, which comes to U.S. Wheat, which is significantly increased by the MAP and FMD programs, you essentially have people in those markets representing your interests. That's what U.S. Wheat does, and that's why we need the programs.
The U.S. wheat chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and although promotion and marketing of the U.S. crop to overseas consumers may appear quite removed from the day-to-day activities of farmers, landlords, and agribusinesses, they're not. Simply put, without U.S. wheat associates' day-to-day activities in countries around the world, Pacific Northwest farmers would be in a heap of hurt. If you think your voice doesn't count, if you think one person is not going to make a difference, if you think what happens thousands of miles away isn't going to gore your ox, or it's not worth your time to write a letter to your congressional delegation, well, what can I say? You're wrong. As Director of Communications and Producer Relations at the Washington Grain Commission, and before that as a reporter for the Northwest Agricultural Weekly Capital Press for 22 years, I have seen numerous examples where a motivated cadre of energized individuals achieve great changes. Get on board, write a letter, call your representative, and if you're not a member of your wheat organization, become a member. Remember, paying attention is about more than on-farm safety. It's also about not losing sight of the programs and organizations that have enabled the wheat industry to survive and prosper. So as my dear departed mother said so often to me, pay attention. That's it for episode 16. I hope this week's show will motivate you to take action on your farm to remain safe and in your business to remain profitable. Until next time, I'm Scott Yates, hoping you'll join me again for another episode of Wheat All About It!
Don't like chemicals, don't like killing. Look in your kitchen, the story there's chilling. Plant food, Windex, mouse bait too. Mr. Clean, easy off, even pet shampoo. You wanna be a hypocrite? Just forget to have the shit. We feed you.